It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
That's right. Greetings, news hands. That's the sound of the elevator. We're on our way up to the roof. Whew, we made it. Can you hear the birds? Hello, welcome one and all. It is 1902 UTC on a beautiful, well, on a cloudy, slightly damp, we're drying out, Tuesday, April the 18th, 2023. I started the broadcast as I was waiting for the elevator, so you may have heard, I don't know if it cuts off when we're getting on the elevator, so I normally don't start it until I get to the roof where I'm going, so you get to hear the elevator. Let's see who's out there hanging out. Welcome, Tobe and Quentin and X1, of course, LCD and Claudio N. Welcome. If you want to hang out and calm and chat and just kind of interact during the show, you can do that. All you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and then once there, launch com, com, press enter. You'll press G for go to, and then type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom. You are where you want to be. All right, and we are just about where we want to be. Because of a parking garage, a square parking garage necessarily has each corner has a chunk that can't have a parking spot. And we've made it to the fourth floor northeast corner of the garage. Northeast corner of the northeast corner of the northwest garage. There we go. Anyway, hello, welcome. all right, cool. Good to know. Fingers crossed that the podcast will work today for the Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee. If you missed out, we had some fun with the Dubious Goals Committee yesterday. A fun show that airs every goddamn day, 1930 UTC. So, stick around for that. It's a good little adventure. Hey, and Jay Lamoth, hello. So, let's go ahead. We got some news. I have news. I feel like there was a slow news day today, is how I would put it. So, let's see what we can get out of it. We go over here to our bookmarks and go to our desktop bookmarks and our bookmark menu. News to me. And then today is April 18th. Boom. We got bookmarks. All right. So first, our death and destruction. First, the death. It's kind of both, I guess. 21 dead in Beijing. Hospital fire. Dozens of patients evacuated. It's, they always say the best place to have a heart attack is in a hospital, but the worst place to have a fire is in a hospital. At least 21 people were killed in a Beijing hospital fire on Tuesday, and scores more evacuated, local officials said. The fire had started at about 12:50 p.m. in an inpatient department of Beijing Changfeng Hospital in the Fengtai District, about 15 kilometers west of the city center. The district government said in a statement posted on its official WeChat account late on Tuesday night. The fire was put out by 1:30 p.m. with 71 patients evacuated. The number injured is unknown. As of 6 p.m., the death toll was 21. We are working to investigate what the cause of the blaze was. The incident was heavily censored on the Chinese internet, with news and eyewitnesses footage emerging some 8 hours after the fact. An eyewitness video shows patients in hospital pajamas perched precariously on air conditioner compressors as smoke billowed from the building. The patient is seen climbing down with what appears to be bed sheets used as a rope, rolling onto an awning over a lower floor and jumping from there onto the roof of an attached building. Screams can be heard in the background. The Straits Times was able to verify through street view maps and distinguishing building features that the video showed the back of the Beijing Changping Hospital. The original video post was soon taken down, but the clip was reposted elsewhere. Videos allowed to remain online, played at double speed to avoid revealing too much detail, showed patients, some with intravenous drips still attached to their arms, and medical staff being evacuated to an open-air plaza. Pretty scary, gnarly stuff there. So big fire there at a hospital in China, in Beijing. So, sadness there, but death and destruction. Two for one special. Over in Tunisia, we got a little bit of political turmoil, as we've talked about off and on. Rached Ghannouchi, one of the main opponents of Tunisian President Kais Saied, has been arrested in his Ennahda party, said on Monday. The latest in a string of opposition figures held. This man is 81 years old, and his party was the largest in parliament before Saied dissolved the chamber. dissolved the chamber in 2021. He was arrested by police at his home in Tunis. The Islamist-inspired Ennahda said in a statement. Ennahda denounces this extremely serious development and calls for immediate release of Rached Ghannouchi. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but it's sure spelled that way. Man, it's really nice out. Even though it's cloudy, the weather's pretty darn good. My watch says it's 23, but there's no way it's 23 right now. It feels cooler than that. Maybe it's 20. So, who knows? Yeah, Jay LaMoth, if you ever look at... if you ever watch, sometimes I'll watch TV shows or movies on YouTube, and to avoid the censors, sometimes they'll play it at double speed or at like 3/4 speed, and so you have to fiddle with the playback speed. But once you do that, you get the whole movie, and it's fine. You bypass the censor. So I thought, yeah, I agree. That's pretty cool. It's a smart way to do it. All right. So here's a little bit of good news. Good news for your Tuesday. So I may have mentioned, it was a big story, but I think I had technical difficulties. Sorry, the wind's coming up on me. We had some technical difficulties last week. But anyway, there were two pirate stories last week. One, the Singapore pirate story ends with a positive note. A Singapore-registered oil tanker that was boarded by unidentified persons off Ivory Coast last week has been located, with all the crew safe, according to officials. 20 crew members of various nationalities had been on the Success 9 when it was boarded Monday in the Gulf of Guinea. Once relocated, the vessel was intercepted by two National Navy patrol boats under the guidance of Falcon 50 aircraft. It appears from the elements of assessment that the ship has indeed suffered material damage. The sabotage of its means of communication and navigation. The armed theft of all the goods on board, said Commander Daddy Vaez. D-A-D-I-E. And then the last name, D-A-L-L-E-S. So, the pirates got away with 5,000 tons of diesel, according to Commander Daddy Vaez of the Ivory Navy. So, 5,000 tons of diesel. That's so much fuel. It's like, it's hard to imagine. Like, I have trouble imagining what 5,000 tons of diesel looks like. It's Anyway, it's a huge, massive scale, massive amount of diesel. So this is a disturbing story. If you love animals, you may want to tune out for a few minutes, because this is a story about animal abuse. The Sessions Court in Johor Bahru, or JB, has sentenced the 18-year-old student to 7 strokes of a light cane for setting a dog on fire in March. Sessions Court Judge Chi Wan Zaidi Che Wan Ibrahim also ordered Braden Yapong Cheng to be released on good behavior bond for a year with surety of RM10,000, which is 3,000 Singapore dollars, after he pleaded guilty on April 12th. Your action is cruel and inhumane towards an animal that also has the right to live in peace, Judge Chi Wan Zaidi told before handing down the sentence on Tuesday. The court also ordered that the light caning of Yap be held in open court at 9 a.m. on May 21st. Under Section 293 of the Criminal Procedure Code, when a youth offender is convicted before any criminal court, the court may instead choose another punishment. Section 293(1)(c) of the CPC allows the court to order the offender, if male, to be whipped with not more than 7 strokes of a light cane within the court premises and in the presence of the guardian, the parent, and guardian. On Wednesday, Yap pleaded guilty to the charge of animal abuse after setting a dog on fire in March. According to the charge sheet, Yap caused excruciating pain to a brown female dog by beating it and then setting it on fire. The incident happened at 1:49 a.m. on March 27th in Jalan Impian Emas 22, Taman Impian Emas. So, just giving us this precise block that this happened. Veterinary Service Department Prosecutor Officer Mohammed Zamiri Ishak prosecuted the case. So, he will be getting some strokes. Essentially, there's a light cane and a heavy cane. And it's not, I had to research it a little bit because I thought light cane meant they were going to lightly tap him with the cane. But no, it's just there's different weights of canes. So there's a light cane and a heavy cane. And so, like, if you're an adult, you get a heavy cane. It's very frustrating, but he'll be punished, and hopefully he learns a lesson and doesn't do that ever again. And like Jay Lamoth said, I agree in comments. This is abuse of animals is often where is one of the warning signs for serial killers, for sure. Well, Sudan is still having troubles. You may remember fighting has broken out. Neither side. All the different armies or large fighting forces there, none of them can kind of agree on who started it. But shelling and gunfire has been heard in Khartoum as a ceasefire agreed by the Sudanese army and rapid support force begins. The United Nations says more than 180 people have been killed since the fighting began on Saturday. Both sides are saying they're committed to a truce. Sudan's warring sides say they're committed to the 24-hour ceasefire. We are keen to implement the truce and restore normal life in the city. But the RSF is a militia that does not respect anything, according to the Sudanese army colonel. Meanwhile, the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, said it will uphold its part of the truce agreement. Our forces deployed in various areas of Khartoum are committed to the truce, Musa Kadam, advisor to the commander of the RSF, told Al Jazeera. So, there'll be some calm, at least for a little while. General malaise. That's it's pretty good, Tope. Pretty good. Publius is here too. Hello. Corporal punishment and sergeant humiliation. And if you need a cane, talk to X1. He's selling canes all around the world. Sorry. I feel like my energy is low. I was so happy to have Mix back these last couple of shows that I kind of miss it now that I don't have it. All right, well, let's keep on a rolling. Bow, 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 bow. So yesterday, with all the mass shootings that have been going on this week, I missed one. I guess it's not a mass shooting, technically. So there was a boy who went to pick up his siblings, and he went, his mom sent him, you know, he's young and he's just old enough to have a driver's license. So she sent him off to go pick up his siblings from a relative's house a couple blocks away. Well, he turned down the wrong street. And so when he went down the wrong street and went to that address, he walked up and rang the doorbell and a guy shot him in the face because that was not the right address. Well, on the same day, Kaylin Gillis, a woman shot dead in New York State, after a friend pulled into the wrong driveway. So similar thing. It's kind of like what we've warned people about. If you give everybody a gun, you're going to start having random ass people killed. A man has been charged with second degree murder in the U.S. after he allegedly shot and killed a 20-year-old woman as the car she was in mistakenly drove up the man's driveway. Kaylin Gillis was with three other people in New York State on Saturday. They accidentally drove into the driveway of Kevin Monahan in the town of Hebron. As the driver was leaving, Mr. Monahan, age 65, opened fire on the vehicle, hitting Miss Gillis. This is a very sad case of some young adults who were looking for a friend's house and ended up at this man's house, who decided to come out with a firearm and discharge it, Washington County Sheriff Jeffrey Murphy told a news conference. The area is rural and the driveways are poorly lit at night. None of the group had exited the vehicle or attempted to enter his house before he opened fire. There's clearly no threat from anyone in the vehicle, Sheriff Murphy said. There's no reason for Mr. Monahan to feel threatened. The friends drove away from the house and attempted to call for help in a nearby town, but Miss Gillis was pronounced dead by paramedics. Mr. Monahan was uncooperative with the investigation and refused to exit his residence to speak with the police, the sheriff's office said in a news release. A GoFundMe was created to help Miss Gillis' family with funeral and other expenses. So, separately, the householder in the U.S. state of Missouri was charged with shooting a teenager who rang the wrong doorbell. He got charged. The young man, or little boy, whatever you want to say, the minor, he actually survived, which is really a big surprise. Oh, cool. A lot of Teslas don't have the full glass roof anymore. Like, I thought that was a standard feature, but a lot of them I see these days, in Austin anyway, don't have them. So it's kind of nice to see them when they do. Anyway, that's an Austin problem. A lot of Teslas running around. Let's see what's going on in comm. Publius points out, Quentin points out, the Castle Doctrine, it's kind of a bastardization of the Castle Doctrine, or kind of weird mutation of it. I don't like people driving up my driveway, so I'm going to start shooting. Guns, there's no restrictions on guns, you know. Jay LaMoth is actually Canadian, so we have somewhat similar gun laws here. Sorry about the wind. I'm trying to move around so that it's less bad, but happens and happens. Full glass roofs in sunny areas kind of suck. Oh, thanks, Quentin. That's a good point. Austin, Texas does have full sun for a lot of year. Ooh, the wind's even worse over here. It's almost like a giant concrete structure. Is full of heat variations from top to bottom. And so we generate wind. Ah, here we go. This is a relatively quiet spot. Jay LaMoth converts Teslas into expensive greenhouses. So anyway. That's what's going on there with those things. Let's talk about technology, because, oh man, there are some cool stories going on. So first, let's talk about space. Come on. Let me see if I have... I think I have the... If I did it right, I have a bookmark. Here it is, yes. I have an image to share with you, because this is pretty cool. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I've got to wait for their mobile advertisement to load. So annoying. petapixel. People who had the right amount of money. Damn it. And now it's freaking windy. Okay, cool. We have escaped the wind. And I think... See? Share. And we think this will work. Let's find out. Hey, it will work. All right, so here we go. So, you know about the Aurora Borealis. Well, this is a cool confluence of two events. A guy was up in Alaska taking some photos. Well, several people are in Alaska taking photos of the Northern Lights. Well, oh, speaking of which, check out that show on Tuesdays. Northern Lights has a great show. So check the schedule, but I believe it's on Tuesday nights. So check it out. So essentially, what we've got going on is all right, here it is. I was trying to make sure. All right. So this is what's known as a SpaceX spiral, as noted by Space Weather. 3 hours earlier, SpaceX launched 51 small satellites on a Falcon 9 rocket. And whenever the second stage of the rocket reaches the appropriate orbit and it jettisons the first stage, it goes ahead and starts falling back to Earth. But as it's falling back to Earth, it ejects any of its unspent fuel. Now, that unspent fuel has some water in it. So when that water freezes, it goes ahead and when the water freezes, it creates this spiral in the sky because the second stage is spinning around. Or it may be because the fuel is being jettisoned that's causing it to spiral. I don't quite get it. But anyway, if you go to sdf.org/l/pp, that's sdf.org/lima/papapapa, sdf.org/l/pp, you'll see a really cool picture of the Aurora Boreal, of the Northern Lights with a cool spiral there, and it's all real, which it really blew me away. I thought this, it really made my day seeing that space picture. So anyway, sorry about the slow talking, but I just had to find it and copy it and get it all set up. All right, so this may be exciting news for fans of nuclear power. Michigan could chip in as much as $300 million to restart the 800 megawatt Palisades nuclear power plant, which is currently being decommissioned. Holtec International bought the plant in 2022 and shuttered it with an eye toward decommissioning the facility under an agreement with the NRC, or Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Holtec has applied for federal dollars to help get the plant running again. It hopes to tap into a $6 billion fund at the Department of Energy, earmarked to preserve the U.S. nuclear reactor fleet and associated jobs. Nuclear energy is considered key to meeting Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's climate goals as more solar and wind power infrastructure is built out. A spokesperson was quoted as saying the nuclear plant is a critical energy source and economic driver for the region, and the governor's office was in touch with Holtec and working to secure federal funding. So, new nuclear? Question mark. Michigan utility regulators are studying whether the state should build more nuclear power plants. A draft report is expected by year's end. The Energy Department's Civil Nuclear Credit Program was created by the infrastructure bill signed into law in November 2021 and allows reactor owners and operators to apply for and bid on credits to support their continued operation. So, pretty cool. Hey, LCD, what do we got? hey, welcome back, Claudia Gunn. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I missed something in comm, but that's all right. We've got about 5 minutes to go, and I've got a few more nuclear power stories to talk to you about. So I think that means that that's a good timing for us all. First, Bangladesh paying Russia and Yuan to sidestep sanctions. This is kind of a mix of politics and nuclear here for you. Under Additional Secretary of the Ministry of Finance's Economic Relations Division in Bangladesh told Nikkei Asia, because of the sanctions against Russian banks, we couldn't process payments in U.S. dollars. Russia asked us to settle the payments in their currency rubles, but that wasn't feasible, so we both opted for yuan. According to Nikkei Asia, the payments will go via a Chinese bank through China's cross-border interbank payment system, CIPS, its alternative to the U.S. dollar and euro-dominated SWIFT cross-border banking system. Rosatom in February 2011 signed an agreement for two reactors to be built at Rupur for the Bangladesh Atomic Energy Commission. The initial contract for the project, worth $12.65 billion U.S. dollars, was signed in December 2015. It's being 90% financed by a Russian loan at an interest rate of LIBOR plus 1.75%, capped at 4%, repayable over 28 years with a 10-year grace period. The Rupur plant, 160 kilometers from the capital of Dhaka, will feature two Russian VVER 1200 reactors. So, very exciting for new nuclear power to come online. And they're using not U.S. dollars, which is kind of what everybody's been hearing and seeing and kind of fearing, is that, oh, the world will just stop using U.S. dollars if there's sanctions on everybody. Publius pointing out, Rupur was designated as the site for a can-do in 1968 by the Pakistan Atomic Energy Commission, but then the arms links Pakistan Civil War happened. Yeah, war seems to dissuade people from making nuclear power plants. They really seem like nuclear power is something that is, oh, cool. Nuclear power plants. Power plants only really exist in places that are very stable, just because they're so expensive to set up, I guess. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of dumb. All right, so that's going on there. But we've got one more nuclear story for you. We're going to where? Where could we go? Finland! Test production has been completed at the Olkiluoto 3, or OL3, EPR in Finland, and the plant has now started regular electricity production. Operator Telosuden Voima Oyo, or TVO, has announced. TVO said the reactor will soon be declared to be in commercial operation. Huzzah! More nuclear power! OL3 attained first criticality on December 21st of 2021, and was connected to the grid on March 12, 2022. The EPR, a 1,600 megawatt energy pressurized water reactor, then entered a phase of test production, during which some 3,300 tests were conducted and more than 9,000 test reports collated. The completion of test production was initially delayed after material that had detached from the steam guide plates was found in the turbine's steam reheater in May, which required inspection and repair work. Later in October, damage was discovered in the internals of the feed water pumps located in the turbine island during maintenance and inspection. The plant was operated at full capacity for the first time in late September last year. TVO announced on April 16 that test production at the plant had completed and regular electricity production had now started. This is a historic day. The benefits that we promised OL3 would bring to Finnish society are realized. So, very cool. Finland. Hooray. So that's all the time we've got today. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It will be at 1930 UTC. You can always press equal sign in con. We'll go to anonradio.net for the full schedule. But essentially, we got Dubious Goals Committee, Internet Noises, and Praise Then the Darkness from DJ Northern Lights tonight. So, yeah, fun times. It is Tuesday. And, yeah, hopefully there's not too much death and destruction.